Wishing everyone a Boker Tov. You should have in front of you a Gemara in Chagiga, which we were able to photocopy, and hopefully you all have that. And that's on Daf Yud Amud Aleph in Masechta Chagiga. And we'll start by reading the relevant line in the Mishnah, so we know where the Gemara is coming from. The Mishnah says regarding Shabbos and the laws of Shabbos, Harei Hein Keharorim Hatluyim Besara. They could be compared to a mountain that's being held up by a hair. And what does that mean? The Mishnah explains, Shehein Mikra Muot, in the Torah Shabbat, in the written Torah, there's very little. But Halachas Merubas, but as far as the Torah Shabbat Peh is concerned, and the development of Halacha, It's very complicated, and there are myriads of halachas. So the Gemara asks the following question. This is about five lines up before the end of the page. Are you telling me, Michtav Ksivan, that there's nothing in the Torah Shebichtav? Yes, there is. The Torah says that Lo Sochlu, Lo Tasu Kol Melacha. So the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, we need the Torah Shebaal Peh for the following statement, the following halachic principle. Lichei de Rabbi Abba, the Yom Rabbi Abba, Hachofer Guma v'Shabbos v'Ein Tzorach Elo Liafra, Potter Ale, Keman, Ki Rabbi Shimon, the Yom Melach Shein Tzuch Legufa, Potter Ale. So Baruch Hashem, we're pretty oriented in this. We've already discussed a lot about this, and that is that if a person digs a hole and he doesn't need the hole, he's not planting, but rather he needs to get the dirt out of the hole, that's called the Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, and Rav Shimon says in that case you are potter. And obviously that's something that we can only know from Torah Shebaal Peh. There's nothing in the text of the Torah that indicates that a person should be potter on Shabbos from Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa. It's purely Torah Shebaal Peh. And we're going to see that Rashi is going to derive this from a principle called Meleches Machsheves. And that's based on the Gemara that we're about to look at. But we don't have anything in the Parsha of Shabbos that would lead us to the conclusion that a Meloch Shein Tzricha Legufa is Potter. It's all based on what we call Torah Shebaal Peh. Then the Gemara wants to say, okay, you've answered the question according to Rav Shimon, but what about according to Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that Meloch Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayav. And in that sense, there's no special unique halach in Shabbos that is the exception to the rule. Meaning, in Kol HaTorah Kula, as far as all universal halachas is concerned, there's no such concept as Meloch Shein Tzricha Legufa. And Shabbos, there also is no concept of, according to Rav Yehuda, Meloch Shein Tzricha Legufa. So what new law and what halakhic principle have you added through Torah Shebaal Peh that I wouldn't have known through Torah Shebichtav? And the Gemara answers, Afilu Teimel Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, this very same case where a person digs a hole and he only needs the offar, he only needs the dirt from the hole, here too he's going to be potter. Why is he going to be potter? After all, it's Meloch Shein Tzricha Legufa, and Rabbi Yehuda holds Meloch Shein Tzricha Legufa Chayav. The answer is, when does Rabbi Yehuda hold that Meloch Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayav Hasam? That's in that case, we'll explain the case in just a minute, Misaken, where he's doing something creative, something constructive. Aval Hacha, here in this case, where he's digging a hole, Mekalkel Hu. So Rashi explains over here, why is this the exception to the rule? Normally, in every case of Meloch Shein Tzricha Legufa, we're talking about something that is tikkun. Here, in the case of Eino Tzorach El Liafra, it's considered a kilkul. So Rashi explains. Let's say you have a dead body in the house, and you have to take him out eventually to bury him out in the cemetery, which is in Rishus HaRab. So you're carrying the mess from Rishus HaYochid all the way to Rishus HaRab. So Rashi says that's a creative act. Rabbi Shimon is going to say you're not chayiv in that hotzar case. Why? Because you don't need the mess to be placed over there. You need to get the mess out of the house. So that's called the Malach Shem Suich Lugufer. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say you're chayev in that case, but only because it is a case of masakin. But if you dig a hole in the ground and you don't need the hole, you may need the dirt, but nevertheless the hole itself is a kilkul. Rashi says, you'll take a look in the last line on the daf, Rashi says, Vahai, and this case of Chofer Guma, where he's digging the hole, Mekalkil Huetz Chatzera. You know, you don't want to have potholes in your backyard. So that's considered kilkul. So it comes out that according to this sugya, whether you hold like Rav Shimon or you hold like Rav Yehuda, we definitely need Torah Sheval Peh to establish a unique p'tur in Hilchas Shabbos. So according to Rav Shimon, you need a unique Torah Sheval Peh p'tur in Hilchas Shabbos, namely Malach Shem Tzuch L'Gufa. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have that luxury because he holds Malach Shem Tzuch L'Gufa as Chayev. But even Rabbi Yehuda needs Torah Sheval Peh to establish a unique p'tur in the case of Mekalkel. It comes out that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds Malach Shem Tzuch L'Gufa Chayev, nevertheless he holds that Mekalkel is Potter. So when is Malach Shem Tzuch L'Gufa Chayev? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's only if it's a Meleches Tikkun. When is Rabbi Yehuda going to admit that a Malach Shem Tzuch L'Gufa is Potter? That's in the case of a Meleches Kilkul. So the Gemara says, "My keharin atluyin besara." Why is that called, mountains that are being held up by hairs? And here we turn to Amid Beis, Tafyuna Amid Beis, Meleches Machsheves Osu Torah, Umeleches Machsheves Lo Ksiva. The Torah says that you're only in violation of Shabbos because it's if and when it's a Meleches Machsheves. If it's not a Meleches Machsheves, then you're Potter. And that whole concept of Meleches Machsheves Lo Ksiva, it's not written in the Torah itself. Rashi explains that if you go through the parish of Shabbos with a fine tooth comb, you won't find the concept of Meleches Machsheves. The Torah only talks about Malach. It doesn't say Meleches Machsheves. Where do we find and from whence do we derive the concept of Meleches Machsheves? Rashi says that there's something called a Smichus HaParshios. What does that mean, Smichus HaParshios? Maybe I'll write this down on the board for you. But Smichus HaParshios means that when the Torah puts two topics, subjects, one next to the other, it means that one is meant to shed a light on the other. The Torah, right after the parsha of Shabbos, tells us to build the Mishkan. And when Moshe Rabbeinu gives the command to what's called the Chachmei Lev, the artisans of Israel, to come forward and build the Mishkan, he calls it Meleches Machsheves. And that phrase, Meleches Machsheves, although it doesn't appear in the Torah Shavuot Sav, in the context of what? Of Shabbos, it does appear in a broader context of that parasha in regard to Meleches HaMishkan. So should we write this down on the board? Would this be helpful? You'll let me know. So we have here something called Meleches Machsheves. Okay? And we've mentioned this in the past, Meleches Machsheves. Okay? Meleches Machsheves is derived from what? From Smichus HaParshios. What does that mean? When there are two Parshios, which means two subject matters in the Torah that are contiguous. Okay? So we have the Parsha of Shabbos, and immediately following it, we have the Parsha of what? Meleches HaMishkan. This is all in Parshas Vayakel, right at the very end of Sefer Shavuos. And in the parasha of Meleches HaMishkan, the Torah calls it Meleches Machsheves. So we take the Meleches Machsheves from Mishkan and through this medium called Smichus HaParshios, and we apply it to what? To Shabbos. And then when the Torah uses the word in Shabbos, Lo Tasu Kol Melacha, what does the word Melacha mean? We have to add an adjective to describe Melacha. And what's that? Machsheves. It's got to be not just Stana Malach, just any Malach, it's got to be a Meleches Machsheves. So the Gemara says this is all what we call Torah Sheval Peh, right? Thank you. Torah Sheval Peh. Okay, that's Rashi Tevis for Sheval Peh. And that makes Shabbos into Horim Hatluyim Besara. Meaning, all the fundamental principles of Shabbos are outside of the written Torah. So as far as the written Torah is concerned, we have virtually nothing. All the Torah says is abstain from halacha. But all the details and all the principles and how and when it's a halacha, when it's not a halacha, all that is derived from Torah Shebal Peh. And that means that the Torah Shebetzav here is like a mountain that's being held up by a hair. I mean, we have nothing in Torah Shebal Peh, in Torah Shebetzav. It's all Torah Shebal Peh. And the most fundamental overarching principle of Torah Shebal Peh that tells me about Shabbos is called what? Moleches Masheves. Okay, so this is going to be our choir for today. I need a little singing to start the day today. So when I count to three, we're all going to tell us together, sing out what is the most fundamental principle in Moleches Shabbos. 1, 2, 3.
Moleches Masheves.
Excellent. Or if you want to say Namaras Faridit, Moleches Masheves. It's all the same. And what that means is the following. Here, we want to look at Rashi. So take a look at one of the most important Rashis in all of Shabbos, and nobody knows about this Rashi because nobody learns Chagiga. Everybody thinks that we're going to find an important Rashi, it's got to be in Masechta Chagiga, but it's tucked away here on Daf Yud Amud Beis in Masechta Chagiga. It's not a Masechta Shabbos. Rashi says, Shehamachshava Shechoshva B'daito V'niskavim Lo, that's what makes it into a Malacha. Now notice that Rashi uses three different words here. He uses the word machshava, he uses the word das, and he uses the word kavan. It's unbelievable. Rashi wants to knock this into our brains. You know, he's really working overtime, Rashi. And he's saying, call it machshava, call it das, call it kavan. These are three different ways of expressing the fact that your malacha was well thought out. It was well planned. And the das and the kavana that a person puts in is going to determine, is it a malacha or is it not a malacha? Let's take the case of malacha sheni tzricha l'gufa koyter of Shimon. What kind of machshav and das did you put in? You want to get the mess out of here. You don't care where you put it down. That's called a malacha sheni tzricha l'gufa. Your hotzah is not for the purpose of hanacha b'makom mesuyah, but rather, you want to get it out of here. So that's not considered a machshava bidas ubekavana. Machshava bidas ubekavana, says Rav Shimon, means that you wanted to achieve a specific goal. That goal is upgraded by the fact that it's in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they had a certain goal for each malacha, and that means that your machshava, your kavana, your das has to be for that purpose. That was done in the Mishkan. If not, then it's not called the Moleches Machsheves. Okay, this is what we have here. Now, the Gemara says the following. Okay, according to Reb Shimon, fine. I understand that Moleches Machsheves is going to teach me this very fundamental principle called Malacha Sheinetzricha L'gufa Potter. But according to Reb Yehuda, he holds that Malacha Sheinetzricha L'gufa is higher. If that be the case, what do we do with Moleches Machsheves? Says the Gemara, but he still has a constructive purpose. What is his constructive goal? Where does he put his Machsheva, his Das, and his Kavana? Not in the way it was done in the Mishkan, but in terms of his personal subjective goal. So the Gemara says, but what happens if he's not doing anything that he benefits from it? That's called what?
Kilkul.
Then even Rav Yehuda would agree that since it's Mekalkel, it's not Moleches Machsheves. So what is Moleches Machsheves teaching us in the Gemara in Chagiga? The answer is it depends. If you all like Rav Shimon, it's teaching me that I need the Machshav and the Kavan and the Das exactly the way the Malcha was done in the Mishkan for the same purpose. If you all like Rav Yehuda, then Moleches Machsheves teach me something totally different. Namely, whatever subjective das you have, whatever your machshava and your kavanah is, that's fine. That makes it into a Moleches Machsheves, except for one condition. You have to have some sort of machshava, kavanah, and das. You have to have some sort of goal. If you have no goal, if you're like Jughead and you got nothing in your head, then it becomes a Moleches Kilkul. And in the case of Moleches Kilkul, even Rabbi Yehuda says that you're potter because there's no Moleches Machsheves. So both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree to Moleches Machsheves. They both agree you need a Machsheva, Das, and Kavana. How do you apply that? That's going to be a major Machlokas, the Nafkamina of which is going to be a Malacha Sheinetzricha L'Gufa because Rav Shimon has a very restrictive and demanding kind of machshava, kavana, das, it doesn't become a lex machshava unless you have that very specific kavana, machshava, das that the Torah has in the Mishkan, in the building of the Mishkan. Yeah. And Rabbi Yehuda is much more laid back about that. You have to have a machshava and a kavana, das, but it doesn't have to be a mirror image and a duplication of the machshava and the das and the kavana as it was done, as it was performed in the Mishkan. Yeshua?
This doesn't necessarily help the argument that Hilchot Shabbat are mainly Torah Shabbat and Peh. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda, right? Even if he still disagreed, right, that would still make a lot of Hilchot Shabbat talui on Torah Shabbat Peh.
Right.
So the only problem that really remained on Rabbi Yehuda was that Malechet Machshevet, that higher principle, is still supposed to have some expression in what he holds, right?
And the express itself in Mekalkin.
Right, but until now, yeah, we didn't talk that way about Rabbi Yehuda.
Well, let me just, Shmuel, try to read, you know, for myself. I got to press the refresh button.
For Guma, until now, did we say Rav Yehuda would hold that? That would be
You know, until now, we were thinking that in the case of Chofer Guma, since he has his Tzorech, mm-hmm, although it's not Legufa,
okay,
that it broadens the scope of Letzorech, and that's a valid Letzorech.
Yesterday, without this Gemara, would you have told me that Rav Yehuda would say that?
Well, wait a second. So, no, you make a very good point. That's just that I need to go step by step to get
no
to your conclusion. So let me
there
say
are a lot
like
of good
this.
Steps. I know.
Right. Here it works like this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we've been saying the following: that Rabbi Yehuda validates a broader scoped litzorech.
Right.
That's fine. And therefore, if you ask me, from the perspective of Malacha Sheni Tzricha Legufa, would Rabbi Yehuda say, well, the fact that he wants to get the dirt, that's a Tzorech, and that's valid, what would be the answer to that? Yes, for sure. We can validate his Tzorech insofar as he needs the dirt. However, and here's the Chiddush that we have here in Masechta Chagiga that we didn't know about, and I think that's what Shmuel is pointing out. We never ask the following question. What does that hole that he dug do to his chatzit, his backyard? See, we haven't raised that question yet. For example, in the case of Chovel Umavir, if you recall on Daf Kuf Vav in Masechta Shabbos, we determined that Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell us that you have to have a tzorech. Again, it's not a tzorech gufa, but you have a tzorech because you want to feed your dog. It's called tikkun etz acherim. Or you have a tzorech in that you're going to use this fire to create ashes, and you need the ashes. And that's that. In both those cases, Rabbi Yehuda validates his tzorech. And if he validates his tzorech, that makes it into a meleches machsheves, not the way Rav Shimon would have determined on his high level with his demand, because it's not tzorech gufa, but within the context of Rabbi Yehuda, his broad definition of tzorech, that is called a tzorech. We thought, therefore, that in the case of digging a hole in the backyard and he needs the dirt, Rabbi Yehuda would say, well, since he needs it, then the Torah would validate that tzorech, and therefore it becomes a meleches tikkun. Right. The Gemara now is telling us that Rabbi Abba's statement that a chofer guma, v'yeno tzorech eliyafer is potur, is true and is acceptable not only according to Rabbi Shimon, but even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rashi says, why? Because by digging the hole in his backyard, he damages his backyard. Yeah, but one could argue, what about the case where he burns down someone's haystack and he needs the ashes? What about the case where he beats up somebody and he needs the blood? In those cases, the victim, whether it's the human victim or whether it's the haystack itself, is being damaged. So it comes out like this, that we have the following issue, and I don't know right now how to solve this issue. This is going to be a major issue that we have to take up in the Beis Medrash today, Mirtz Hashem. And that is, how do we reconcile the following? On the one hand, Chovel Umavir, Rabbi Yehuda says, that's a meleches tikkun. And why is it melechas tikkun? Because I need the dam, I need the efer. And even though that's not tzorach gufa, but it's enough for tzorach to be considered a melechas tikkun, here in the case of chofer guma, what we're insisting on is that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that this is not a melechas tikkun, it's a melechas kilkul, because the potholes in his backyard are very damaging to the backyard. Why not validate his tzorach? He needs the dirt.
Yeah. Question.
Do you see the difference? Anybody have an answer to this? I mean, again, you're going to have to spend some time on this.
I like that kilkul is something different. So we're admitting more out loud, something different than melacha she'en tzarich l'gufa. But
right.
Maybe this could be a wild exception in Rabbi Yehuda, because we really wanted him, let's say when we were talking about Korea, we really wanted him to say melacha she'en tzarich l'gufa, and take up that side of the argument that was more helpful.
But again, I think his, let me just formulate the question, at least in my mind.
That's right.
Why is it that Chovel Umavir, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since he needs the dam or he needs the efer, that makes it into the kind of Malach Hashem Etzricha L'Gufa where you're Chayev, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you have a necessary need for the, you know, bashing the guy and removing his blood or burning down his haystack and using the afer. Why not say the same thing in the case of Chofer Guma? Why does Gemara insist that Rabbi Yehuda would agree in the case of Chofer Guma, where he's digging the hole, that in such a case it's called Melechas Kilkul, even though he needs to dig the hole for his purpose? Not that he needs the hole for planting, which was the paradigmic Tzarek Gufa, that's Rav Shimon's, but he needs the hole, because otherwise how is he going to obtain the dirt?
Maybe it's confusing the conclusion in each of the two different ones, but we learned in Shabbos Vav, or Hey, I forget which page it was on, that he accepts the fact that if you dig the hole and you need the dirt, then it's melechas tikkun. Here you have the exact same thing. He's digging the hole and he needs the dirt. So why doesn't he accept that as
that's right? So anything that you saw in the past about digging a hole for the dirt is not true, and not according to the Gemara in Chagiga.
Nah, you're changing your assumptions.
The Gemara Chagiga is presenting the following thesis, and we can't argue with the Gemara. It's not going to help us. You can fight the Gemara, but you're going to lose. And what is, by definition, the Gemara says that if you dig the hole in your backyard and you need the dirt,
right,
even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're patur because it's a melechas kilkul. So when does the Gemara say that according to Rabbi Yehuda we convert a melechas kilkul to melechas tikkun? That's only in the case of chovel umavir for the dam and for the ashes. But when I need the dirt and that's why I'm making the hole, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that to the extent that hole is damaging to my backyard, it's a melechas kilkul and you're potter. Again, what the Gemara wants to gain here is the following. The Mishnah of Keharim Hatluya Besara is not just Rav Shimon. We don't want to say that Rav Shimon is the only one who can accept that description of Hilchas Shabbos. No, even Rabbi Yehuda is on board. You need Melechas Makshavos. You need a super duper, super arching principle of Torah Shebal Peh called Melechas Makshavos, which is derived from the Smichus HaParshias to Mishkan, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And what is going to be generated, what new category of Ptur is going to be generated by this Melechas Makshavos going to Rabbi Yehuda? Mekalkel. And Rabbi Yehuda is on board. Mekalkel is not a Melechas Makshavos. No, when I bash this guy, I'm damaging him. When I burn his haystack down, I'm damaging the haystack. Why isn't that a Melechas Kilkul? And why does Rabbi Yehuda say no? That's when the Torah says Yechayah for Chovel Umavir. Those are the paradigmic cases in which those two Melechas, like the other 37, are Chayav as Melechas Tikkun. Why is it a Melechas Tikkun? How is it different than Chofer Guma? Does anybody by chance remember who discussed this problem? This was the Tosus Rid. Okay, we'll have to dig it up in the archives. So maybe you could find it. To remember the Tosus Rid, I gave it to you in a digital form that time from Bar Ilan. And
a new work.
And he said, and the Tosus Rid wanted to say that Chofer Guma is not a malacha. Chovel is a malacha. Mavir is a malacha. But Chofer Guma is not a malacha. In and of itself, it's not a malacha. You have to make it into a malacha. And what makes it into his malacha? Well, if it's inside the house, it's the fact that he's going to put a pillar up. If it's outside the house, it's the fact that he's going to plant it out in the fields. But barring, in other words, if you don't have those two conditions, then chofer gumo is not a malacha. If I have a malacha, again, this was the Tosis read, I have a malacha, I'm drawing blood, that's called the malachas chovel, I'm burning something down, that's called the malachas mafir. Now you can ask the question, well, is it makalkil or is it masakin? And Rabbi Yehuda has this broader definition of tzorech, which allows me, in the case where I need the dam for whatever I need it for, I need the burnt haystack for whatever I need it for, to consider it a malacha as tikkun, and I could upgrade it from kilkul to tikkun. However, that's because I started with malacha. In the case of chofer guma, that's not a malacha. Chofer guma, digging holes, will not appear on any list of malachas. Says the Tosfos Rid, you can make it into a malacha. How do you make it into a malacha? By saying that this hole is very beneficial for me, structurally in terms of my house, or plant-wise in terms of my orchard. But I've got to make that chofer guma into a malacha. So my kavana for the planting or for the structuring, that makes it into a malacha. Here, he doesn't plan to structure anything, he doesn't plan to plant anything, it's purely destructive. And even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's called makalik. So again, Rabbosai, if we came to the conclusion, well, let me say it this way, if somebody in the class would say the following, I would tell him he's wrong, okay? If he says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayef for makalik, because Rabbi Yehuda's going to say, well, you know what? He needs this for something or other. And therefore, there's never a case of makalkil. Meaning, if one were to argue that the concept of makalkil is a null set, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because he's not a crazy man, he's not totally insane, he's not out of his box, he must be doing something right. You know, when he does this act of kilkul, he must have some purpose. You know, he's not just some sort of destructive guy, you know, from Marvel comic books or something, right? So then makalkil becomes a null set. Well, what's makalkil according to Rabbi Yehuda? You see, according to Rabbi Shimon, I have an easy way, you know, of saying makalkil, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't recognize your personal tzorach, your need. And therefore, if the Torah doesn't recognize that, it's not letzor gufa, then it becomes a maleches kilkul. But why does Rabbi Yehuda need the concept of maleches kilkul? And one would be tempted to think, before we saw the sugyan chagiga, that Erechinami, Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't have a kalka. Why? Because the man is not crazy, he has some sort of purpose. The Torah recognizes and validates that purpose. That's the broader definition of letzorach of Rabbi Yehuda. Then there's no case of makalkil. Says Gemara, name. There is a case that Rabbi Yehuda needs makalkil and applies the patur of makalkil and derives it from Torah Shabbal Peh, from Alephas Makshavas. And that's the case of Chofer Guma. Because in the case of Chofer Guma, the malacha per se is purely destructive unless you can turn it into something constructive. I can take the dam and remove the dam for a purpose. When I remove the dam for a purpose, says Rabbi Yehuda, that makes it into a maleches tikkun. When I you know, turn the haystack into ashes by burning it, that's a maleches tikkun, because believe it or not, I want ashes and I don't want the haystack, because the ashes I need and I don't need the haystack. So in my personal subjective situation, it becomes a maleches tikkun. But even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that digging a hole in your backyard is a maleches kilkul. It's not a maleches shenitzrich legufa, because the Torah says that you need it for something or other, but you don't need the hole per se. If you don't need the hole per se, that's called a maleches kilkul. So it comes out, and this I think is a beautiful addition to everything we've been discussing, that even though there's a concept called maleches shenitzrich legufa, and there's another concept called makalkil, one has to differentiate between these two concepts, and they're independent one of the other. Even if Rabbi Yehuda holds that if Allah said tzricha gufa yachayav, nevertheless in makalkil you'll be potter. But what is makalkil? Makalkil is a case where your action is pure kilkul, and the fact that you had to do it in order to obtain the dirt, that doesn't convert your digging of a hole into a constructive hole. The hole itself is destructive. And that's not to be confused with the cases of Chovel and Mavir on Daf Kuf Yud, Madaf Kufav, where Rabbi Yehuda says that because he needs the dam, that makes this malacha into a tikkun. Because he needs the afer from the burning, that makes the burning into malachas tikkun. There we start with a malacha. Ella what? It's a problem that maybe it's kilkul. Here Rabbi Yehuda applies his broader definition of litzarech. He personally needs this malacha. That makes it into a tikkun. But in the case of pure kilkul, in the case of digging a hole, then even after I grant you that he needs the dirt, but he doesn't need the hull. So as far as the Guma is concerned, it is a Meleches Kilkul. But the bottom line is, Rabosai, that even Rabbi Yehuda accepts the principle of what? Can we sing it all together? Meleches Machshevus. Where does Rabbi Yehuda apply the principle of Meleches Machshevus? What halacha does he derive from Meleches Machshevus? The answer is Mekalkel. That's what we get from Masechta Chagiga. So let's put this on the side now. Yes.
Mikvah's a partial. Is that one of the Yudhim or Midot?
No.
So why is that accepted?
Well, no, the Yud Gimel Midot Shatar Nidreshes Bahem are what we call the primary methods of Torah Shbal Peh. There are other methods that aren't included in that. In fact, in certain brises they have as many as 39. Then there's the primary, what we call the Avos, and then there are Toldos. There are all sorts of offshoots. For example, Hekesh, which is a very basic principle. Or Halacha Lo Shvi Sinai. There are many different ways that we derive halachas. Okay, now. Rabosai, I want you to open up the Tzlach. Okay, you have that page? Now let's just remind ourselves of what we already know. The Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Beitza records machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. And the question is about kisui hadam, meaning if we slaughter, let's say, a chicken on Yontif for the purpose of Ochel Nefesh, which we're allowed to do, now we're obligated in the mitzvah of what? Of Kisui Hadam. And that same mitzvah would apply in the case of a chayil, like a deer. Again, I don't know when the last time you slaughtered a deer was, but if you would slaughter a deer, you would have to cover its blood. That's called Chayav Yov Kisui Hadam. Is Beit Shammai
the cow?
Who?
A domestic?
No. No cows. No behemoths. A behemoth is part of Kisui Hadam. Behemoth has an Issa Chelev, which Chayav Yov doesn't have. Chayav Yov go together like horse and carriage. Yeah.
Now, covering the dam is a separate mitzvah from the
shechita. Yeah. Right. But if you shecht an animal, I shouldn't say animal because that sounds like a behemoth. If you shecht a bird, okay, that's what we'll call it that, then if you don't cover the dam, you have violated the requirement of covering the dam. So we're not going to put you in a situation where you shecht the animal and then you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of kisui hadam. Now, if you recall, kisui hadam involves a number of issues, all of which have to be solved. Well, one is the issue of muksa that we spoke about. The other issue is the malach of choresh, because he's digging a hole. The third issue is crumbling the earth, which is an issue of tochen. So there are many, many different issues. But if we can solve all those issues, and we're going to see that according to Basil, we can solve all those issues, then Enochidam will shech the bird and then we'll cover its dam. So how do we solve the issue? So for example, the issue of Mukta, we're going to solve by designating this bird on Erev Yontif. And I say, this bird I'm going to shech tomorrow. I mean, I'm just giving an extreme example. You don't have to actually point to the bird and declare it. But anyway, it was Mukhan Mibod Yom. Not only that, he has what's called a dekel no'utz mibonyon. He's not really digging a hole because he put the spade into the ground already on Erev Yontif. Not only that, what is he going to use for the kisui? He's going to use what's called afar tachuach, which means it's already been crumbled and crushed. So we've solved all the problems. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Basil Omrim Lo Yishchod Elim Kain, you should not shecht a bird on Yontif unless you've solved the problems that are involved in Kisui Hadam. So you've already prepared the groundwork for Kisui Hadam. Meaning, Hayelo Afar Muchan Mibod Yom. He's already prepared everything before. He has prepared the chicken. He's prepared the offer. Usually offer is called mukta because we don't use offer. We step on the dirt. Then if you fast forward to Daf Zayin Amud Beis, again, I'm just reviewing what we've already done in the past. The Gemara establishes that it's not enough just to obviate and circumvent the problem of mukta by preparing everything before Yontif. The Gemara quotes Rav Zrika, the name of Rav Yehuda Vahushi, Yeshlo Deker Noutz Mibodyom, and that's going to obviate the problem of Harisha, of digging a hole. He's already dug the spade into the earth before Yontif. The Gemara still says, but wait a minute, the offer itself has to be crumbled into small particles in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. And the Gemara says, that would be a Meleches Ktisha, which is a told of Tochein. And the Gemara answers on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, be offer Tikuach. It's a case where he's already crumbled the earth before Yontif. The Gemara says, but wait a minute, even if he puts the spade into the ground before Yontif, nevertheless, he's got to scoop up the earth, right? You know, you follow what I mean? The spade is sort of vertical, but now he has to, you know, use the spade or the shovel in order to dig up the offer. And when he does that, he's creating a guma. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Abba. This is the same Rabbi Abba that we saw in Masechet Chagiga just a few minutes ago. Hachofer guma b'Shabbos, v'ein tzarech el li afra, poter ale. In other words, this is called a Meleches Kilkel. Why does he need to make this hole? Rabbo says, is he planting anything in the hole? No. What does he need the hole for? To obtain the dirt so he can pour it onto the dam. And according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be Melech Shein Tzuch L'Gufa, but the Gemara wants to square even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And we pointed out that Rabbi Abba was making a statement that would be acceptable even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Chofer Guma V'Ein Tzarech El Liafra is Potter even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because it's a Meleches Kilkul. And Rashi here on Daf Ches Amud Aleph in the third line from the top says, Eino Bone V'Lo Chorish. He's not preparing the house for some structural change, you know, putting up a pillar. He's not plowing the earth so that he can play out in the sudut for planting. And therefore, he ends up with a big pothole in his backyard. That's considered a Meleches Kilkul, V'cholam HaKalkalin Peturin. And Rashi is squaring now even with Rabbi Yehuda. So as far as Meleches Kilkul Guf is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda would say Yechayev. But as far as Chofer Guma is concerned, we have another reason why you put it. Even Rabbi Yehuda is on board for that. Namely what? It's a kilkul. The hole in the ground is a kilkul. However, Abosai, we're not out in the clear yet, really, because when you do a Meleches Kilkul, you're not chaya for that, but are you allowed to do that lechatchila? We have a rule that whenever it says potter in Shabbos, what does it mean? Potter aval asur. But apparently, for the sake of the mitzvah of Kisi Adam, we're going to look aside and the Rabbanan are going to say, you know what? The Tzorech Mitzvah here is going to override, is going to trump the Issur D'Rabbanan in the case of Mekalkel. Now that's a big, big chiddush, and that's the subject of this piece here in the Tzlach.
It
would seem that this is a case of Pater Umuta, but the Tzlach is going to tell us that to do an action of mekalkel, even for the sake of a mitzvah, is not permissible. Once the Rabbanan said that you're not allowed to do a melacha on Yontif on Shabbos, even if it's a mekalkel, meaning that the Torah itself said you're exempt because of meleches machsheves, but the Rabbanan said it's asur, in that case, even for the sake of a mitzvah, we're not going to allow you to do it.
Isn't that exactly the opposite of the Shita Megubetzet?
Oh, but again, the Shita Megubetzet said, Tarte Tame, you remember the Shita Megubetzet? Shita Megubetzet said that if you can right, piggyback one reason on another reason, in other words, you have Ptur A and Ptur B, A plus B equals a heter l'chatchila. Here, we only have one Ptur, he's digging a hole, and that's called Meleches Choresh. Ella what? It's Mekalkel. So Mekalkel is one single Ptur. And one single Ptur is not enough to create a heter l'chatchila.
No, but wasn't the Shita Mekubetzet about it being when it was a mitzvah?
I don't remember that it was a mitzvah case. Can you dig up the sheet of Mekubetzes and we'll...
Only you summarize it.
Oh, you don't have the page? I'm pretty sure we photocopied it, no? If not, I have it here in my archives. I'm just a little bit pressed for time here, so I'm not going
to... Maybe we'll go back to it.
We'll go back. Mirtzah Shem, believe me, we definitely... This piece that we're doing in the Tzlach has to be stapled together with the sheet of Mekubetzes. But let's see if we can analyze this Tzlach. The truth is... I should have brought a Rambam into class. I forgot to bring a Rambam into class. So we're going to rely on his quote in the Rambam. That's very, very faulty scholarship. And he says the following. The Rambam at the end of Perek Beis Milchus Yontif, right, that's also in the book of Zmanim of the Rambam, writes that Misha Hayelo Deker notes me Erev Yontif V'notko B'Yontif V'Hel Ofar Im haya oso ofer tichoach harezem achasim. Now watch what happens here. The Rambam has added another precondition here to allow shchita / kisi adam on yontif. The Gemara says that it's sufficient that he takes the spade and he penetrates it into the earth on erev yontif. Add to that the fact that he's prepared the offer erev yontif, so there's no iser mukta. Add to the fact that the offer is efer tichuach, and it's already been crumbled up. And the Gemara says we've solved all our problems, and therefore even Beis Hillel would agree in this case that he could go ahead with the shechita and the kisi adam because we have no problems. The Gemara asks, but the spade is in the ground and you haven't yet scooped it up. You on yontif, you're going to scoop it up and make a hole. The Gemara says this is a case of chofer guma v'yeno tzarech liguma el tzarech liafra, and therefore it's mekalkin. The Rambam adds another condition. The Rambam says it's not enough that he inserted the spade into the ground on Erev Yontif. The Rambam adds another word, vinatko. Vinatko means he's already begun the process of removing the earth from the earth. That didn't make sense. Removing the dirt from the earth. Are you following me? Again, if we had a video camera, we would do a demonstration here. But imagine if this is your karka, right? If this was loose ground. So according to the sugya itself, all you have to do on Erev Yontif is you have to take the spade, right? And you have to penetrate it into the earth. The Rambam says that's not enough. If you read the Rambam meticulously, he says that not only is Deker Notz Mi Erev Yontif, which means the spade has been penetrated into the ground, but he also has Vinatko. And what does Vinatko mean? Hele Ofar. He's already raised the dirt from the ground. Do you follow? The dirt is no longer attached to the ground. It means he already has what? A hole in the ground. Is everybody following me? The Gemara says, I don't care, let him make the hole on Yontif, because he's Mekalkel. And the Rambam says, no, he's got to make the hole on Erev Yontif.
But what is Rambam's source for saying?
Well, that's what this Tzlach is all about. Again, do you remember I told you yesterday who the Tzlach was? Everybody should remember that. Because if you don't remember that, then they're going to know that you don't know anything. But we keep that as a secret. I'm just joking. In any event, what is the Noda Behuda? The Noda Behuda was one of the greatest minds that we had in the Ashkenazic world over the last 3 centuries. And he wrote a book on Shas called the Tzlach. It's mostly on Moed. And of course, Masechta Beitza is part of Moed. And in his insights on Moed, called the Tzlach, in this case, Masechta Beitza, he very often analyzes the Rambam. If you know the Yehuda, his name was Landau. If you know any Landaus, there's a good chance that they were related to the Noda Yehuda, especially if they were Levine. So I had a girl in my class many years ago in an institution called Michal La, if anybody had heard of it. And her name was Landau, and I asked her if by chance she's related to the Noda Behuda. She told me that her father is 7 generations ben acher ben to the Noda Behuda. I wanted to get her autograph. At the end I had to fail her. No, I'm just joking. Okay. Udvarav Tmuhim. Do you have that on line 4? his words, meaning the words of the Rambam, are tmuhim. Tmuhim means tema. Tema means I don't understand how to explain the Rambam. Dividvar of mashma, from the Rambam's words, it seems that dafka, when are you allowed to do this shchita / kisi adam im kvar notko, if he's already dug the spade into the ground and loosened the ground in such a way that the spade now is holding on to the dirt that he needs for the kisi adam. Aval lechatchila, but let's say he didn't do this on Erev Yontif. Asur lenatuke, he's not allowed to do this act of nituk, meaning of pushing the spade in a, let's say, in a diagonal direction in order to get the dirt out. Vahu keneged mishnasenu. And this Rambam is against our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, Umodim, let's again read the Mishnah, Umodim Beis Hillel LeBeit Shammai Shem Shochat Sheyachpar B'deker V'yechasa. And the Gemara explains, Rav Zrika, in the name of Rav Yud, explains that what does it mean that Modu to Beit Shammai, that he can shaft if he already prepared everything before Yontif, including penetrating the spade into the ground. But it doesn't say anything about Lenatko. The Rambam seems to imply that if he hadn't done this pu'ula, this action of Lenatko, in which he scoops up the ground into the spade, then we're not going to allow him to fulfill his obligation of Kisi Adam. Why? Because he's digging a hole in the ground. And that's not permitted on Yontif. The Gemara says that you're allowed to dig a hole in the ground on Yontif, at least for the sake of Kisi Adam, because it's a Makalkel. Umukim Lei, the Gemara establishes that when, under what circumstances does Beit Shammai allow you to do the Kisi Adam? B'deker notes, as long as you penetrated the spade into the ground. I'll call upon him, Shanina, nevertheless we learned, Sheyachpar, that he's allowed to be Chofer, right? It says, Umodim Beisil Beit Shammai, Shem Shachat Sheyachpar. What does the word Sheyachpar mean in the Mishnah? That he's digging the hole, he's scooping up the ground. And the Rambam seems to imply very clearly that if he didn't scoop up the ground before Yontif, we can't allow him to scoop up the ground on Yontif.
He would prevent the Shechita.
I think so. That you have to know the sugya a little bit better than I know it. I think, if I remember correctly, I haven't learned Beitza in a long time, that we're not going to allow you to shecht an animal and then put yourself in a situation where you can't do the kisi adam.
That's lechatchila.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get sidetracked. So, Rabotzai, now, from the word v'ayin until the end of that right column, where it says u'b'sefer Shara Melech, you can bracket. Because basically what he does here in his erudite scholarship is he tells you all the different giants of halachic literature that attack this problem, and he doesn't like any of them. He likes them as people, but he doesn't like anything they say. But what he found is a book called Shar HaMelech, which is a commentary on the Rambam. I believe that if you're interested in the history of it, we'll talk about, I'll do some more research on the Shar HaMelech. And the Shar HaMelech quotes another sefer, the Yashrei Shiakov. Forget, I don't know who that is. But basically on the second line on the left column, that's where the action starts. This is where, based on the Shar HaMelech, the Tzlach thinks that he can reconcile the Gemara with the Rambam. It's a classical kind of Torah, where you have a Rambam that seems to go off on his own against the Gemara. And he says the following, HaRambam Svirale, the afilu mashu hu rak potur aval osur lo hitiro litzorech kisu. If you can underline that line and a half. The Rambam is of the opinion that we cannot permit an Iser Drabbanon, it goes without saying that we cannot permit an Iser Doraisa, but even an Iser Drabbanon cannot be permitted for the sake of a mitzvah. And you'll have to underline that and memorize that. because that's going to come up over and over again for the next year, if you'll be with me for the next year. So let's get it down pat now. You know, write it on a special notebook for future reference. Again, the Rambam Shita is, okay, that anytime the halacha states that you're patur, but the Rabbanan say that it's asur, it means that it's asur, it's prohibited even for the sake of a mitzvah. So for the purpose of a mitzvah, according to the Rambam, I'm asking you this as a question. This is not a rhetorical question. I expect an answer. According to the Rambam, yes or no, if I have a mitzvah, can I violate an Issa Drabbanah for the sake of a mitzvah?
According to the
Rambam, no. No, absolutely not. Okay? So we're not going to say that an Issa Drabbanah on Shabbos is pushed aside and trumped by a mitzvah. No, there's no such thing.
The lesson of the Mishnah was it was all b'di'evet. The guy like maybe already did the kisei and Ben Hillel might have said lechatchila, not the shechita might have told him not to.
Right. So lechatchila, we're not going to allow the shechita unless everything was prepared mibo'od yom. If everything was going to be prepared mibo'od yom and we've solved all our halachic issues and we have a decker notes, then we're going to allow him to go ahead and do the shechita and he'll do the kisei adam and everything is fine. Now we're in a situation where he did everything but one thing. That's the Gemara. What didn't he do? Chafira. He did not scoop up the dirt.
Before
Yantav. Now, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, he's going to have to scoop up the dirt. That we're not going to allow. Why? Because scooping up dirt means making a hole in the ground, and that's Meleches Choresh. Gemara says, no problem. Why? Because it's Mekalkin.
That's the Gemara.
The Gemara. Now the question is the Gemara saying that for the sake of the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, we're going to permit kilkul, a meleches kilkul, in this case digging a hole? That would be the simple pshat in this Gemara. But that's not so according to the Rambam. The Rambam has a major problem. Because the Rambam is already committed to the position that when you have an Issa Drabbanan, like Mekalkel, which is only Drabbanan, it's Potter Avol Asur, then we're not going to push it aside and override that Issa Drabbanan for the sake of a mitzvah. So how could the Gemara say that we're going to allow Chafira on Yontif for the sake of Mitzvah Kisei Adam, when Chafira is a Meleches Kilkul? If it's a Meleches Kilkul, it's Potter Avol Asur. And if it's Asur, then we cannot override that Isur for the sake of a mitzvah. So the Rambam has a major problem. Oh. How does the Rambam solve this problem according to the Shara Milch? Sugi Zuhi Aliba de Rab Shimon. The Sugi reflects the Shita of Rab Shimon. Again, it doesn't say that in the Gemara, but that's what we're going to have to say. Now, how does Rab Shimon help me over here? The Svirle Malach Shenitzrich Lagufa Potter. Now again, what does he need the hole for? He's not planting in the hole, he's not building in the hole, he needs the dirt in order to be mechasa the dam. That makes the meleches chafira into a melachah shenit tzrich legufa, so he's potter. Wait a minute, that doesn't solve my problem, because potter means potter avol asur, and we're not going to override a drabbana, an isa drabbana, for the sake of what? Of a mitzvah. V'kan, this is where you want to underline it, this is the punchline. Shemitzuraf lazeh, I can add to the fact that it's makalkel. I'm sorry, I can add to the fact that it's a malacha shenitzrich leguf, according to Rav Shimon, shehu makalkel. And therefore mutar afilu l'chatchila. Why does Gemara think that you're allowed to do this kisei adam? Because we have a piggyback. We have two tamim that overlap and coexist. Number one, we have Malacha Shei Tzricha L'Gufa. Again, we're holding like Rav Shimon. That itself creates a p'tur, because he doesn't need the hole, he needs the dirt. Number two, we have Mekalkel, because Nebuch, his backyard now has a big pothole in it. When we combine A plus B, we end up with a Heter L'Chatchil.
So that's echoing the Shittim Mekubetzes.
Exactly. And that's why I want to take out the Shittim Mekubetzes, B'li Neder. It all depends on the clock. I don't know. The clock is moving a little too fast for me today. And I want to show you that this yesod here is the Shita Mekubetzes. And I want to tell you this. The Rambam would also agree The Rambam would accept that for the sake of a mitzvah, if I can combine two different reasons, liftar, p'tur X and p'tur Y, makalkel, and in this case, lochshen tzikul gufa, then el chinami. It would be mutter, and the Gemara is right. But there's only one problem. Because the Gemara reflects the sheet of Rav Shimon, Molochashen and Tzricha Lagufa, Potter. The Rambam doesn't accept Rav Shimon. The Rambam paskins, like Rav Yehuda, that Molochashen and Tzricha Lagufa is chayim. So if you have that notebook that I said that you're going to need for the entire year, please add the following note. That the Rambam paskins, like Rav Yehuda, that Molochashen and Tzricha Lagufa is chayim. That's what he says in the next line. Avol Rabbeinu HaGadol. That's the Rambam. He's always called Rabbeinu HaGadol. L'shitaso, according to his own opinion, Shepasak, he accepts the opinion in Perek Aleph Bilchus Shabbos Halacha Zayin. Again, a true scholar would open up the Rambam and look inside. You'll have to do that during Chavrusa time. Is B'malach Hashem Yitzvich L'gufa K'Rab Yehuda Shechayav. Is Memela Rabosai in the case of Chafira, for the sake of Kisi Adam, how many Peturim do we have on the radar screen according to the Rambam? Only one, namely Mekalkel. We do not have Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa because we paskin, the Rambam paskins, that Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayav. The after Amrina B'Shabbos Daf Ayin Gimel Min Beis U'B'Chagiga Daf Yudom and Alf the Rabbi Abba Omar Afilu Rabbi Yehuda. The Kan Rabbi Yehuda Moda came into Mekalkel, even though Rabbi Abba, as we saw in the Gemara in Chagiga, insists that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Chofer Guma is Potter because it's Mekalkel, Mikomakom, I'll call Potter Menu Mutter, Rak Potter Lechain Asur. And if it's Potter Abel Asur, then Afilu Tzar Kisa, even for the sake of a mitzvah, it's Asur. And we cannot allow a mitzvah to trump an Isid Rabbanon. But if we can have the luxury of paskening like Rabbi Shimon, which Ram doesn't have that luxury, then we have an admixture of not only Mekalkel, but also Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. And when you add A plus B, then you get a Heter L'Chatchi. And now we turn to the Gemara Ksuvos. Do you have that page? Ibailahu. It's about 12 lines down from the top. Ibailahu always introduces what?
Kasha.
A Sofer. A Sofer. Not a Kasha, but a Sofer. Ma'u livol b'tchila b'shabbos. A man gets married to a psula. She's never been married before on a Friday. Today it's coming back into vogue. My father told me back in Europe where he was born, it was quite popular because people were so poor they saved the money on a meal because they combined it with a Shabbos meal. In any event, now when does he consummate the relationship? It's already Friday night, right? They had the big suda. It's Friday night, and she's going to bleed. Not bleed in the sense of Masechta Nida, because she's not a Nida, let's hope, right? But she's going to bleed because of what's called Dam Besulin. So what's the problem? Who cares? Let's just clean it up. What difference is it? But the answer is that when you take Dam out of the body, that's called Meleches Chovel. Now, according to Reb Shimon, you're chayv in chovel even if it's mekalkel, if you recall. According to Reb Yehuda, you're only chayv in chovel if it's mesaken. And presumably, this is not a takana. She was better off before the beer because she was a besula. Besula gets 200 zuz. Anyway, so the Gemara asks the following: Dam mifkid pocket o chibure mechbere. The virginity, if you will, is the besulin is in a little bit of a sac. It's a membrane. And the blood in that membrane might be mifkid pocket. It might be already out of the circulatory system. In other words, again, you have to ask a biologist about this question, but what is the system of the blood here in terms of the blood in the besulin? Is it part of the circulatory system? You know, it's full of oxygen and it goes around the body and it gets changed every few seconds if the heart is pumping properly. Ochibure mechbere. Or no. I'm sorry. Mifkid pocket means it's pocket. It's pocket means it's separated. It's not part of the circulatory system. Ochiburi mechbre means it's part of the circulatory system. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, there's another problem here. Even if I solve the problem of chovel, namely if I maintain that mifkid pocket, the blood is not part of the circulatory system, imtum salom if I insist that dam mifkid pocket, but nevertheless, I'm not sure exactly what his intention is. l'dam hu tzarech. All he needs is the dam. And the reason why he needs a dam is back in the day, they used to take the dam and prove that she was a basula. There was no, because there was a year in between the erisin and the nisun. Visharim, then it's okay, because if it's mifkad pocket, there's no meleches chovel. Chovel only applies when you take blood out of the circulatory system. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps, it's not that he wants to take out the dam, but lepesach hu tzarech v'asur. His intention is to create a Pesach. In other words, he wants to make it easier for himself in the future to have a relationship, to have a bia, and therefore he wants to open up a Pesach. Now, opening up a Pesach, Rashi says, is meleches binyan. It's building. Like, let's say, for example, imagine if we had four walls here without a door. So once I put the door up, that's called meleches binyan. V'imtim tzalomer l'damu tzarech. And if you're going to tell me that his kavana is for the dam, which is okay because that's called mifkad pakid, the pesach memela kaasi, it's true that he's making a pesach, but he's not interested in making a pesach. Is halacha ki Rabbi Shimon? Do we accept Rabbi Shimon? The Omar, he says, Dover Shem is kavin mutter, that if this is not your intention, then you're allowed to do it. So he's doing a Maisa Bia, and at the same time he's creating a Pesach. We define his action, because that's what he's interested in, as the Maisa Bia. The side result, namely of creating a Pesach, is below Miskaven, is without his Kavana. And you remember Rashi and Chagiga said that you're only Chayef for Shabbos when you're Miskaven. Right? Oh, perhaps Halachic Rabbi Yehuda, maybe we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar. He maintains that Dover She'enem is Kavin Asur. Dover She'enem is Kavin is Asur. Now, exactly why a Dover She'enem is Kavin is Asur, that's going to be an issue. It's not for us today. So let's just accept it at face value that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, who are you fooling? You basically know that you're involved not just in a Maisa Bia, but also in creating a Pesach. So it's a. You know, you can't tell me that you don't have kavan. You know, maybe you're not interested in the Pesach, but you're definitely making a Pesach. The imtim salomar halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So now we say the following. He's not called a chovel because dam is mifkid pocket. He's not called a bone, and he's not called pufleches binyan because it's eino miskat. That's good according to Rabbi Shimon, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dover She'enem is Kavin is also. Oh. So we could say that Mekalkel Hu Eitzel HaPesach, that maybe the Pesach itself is called a Kilkul, or, what should we say, Mesakin Hu Eitzel HaPesach. So the Gemara is vacillating back and forth as to whether this opening, this Pesach, is considered beneficial or not beneficial. Is it a tikkun or is it a kilkul? On the one hand, it's a kilkul because she loses her status as a basula. On the other hand, it's a tikkun because now he's able to have bia in the future without having to go through this whole problem of finding a Pesach. And now what we want to look at is Tosis Divi Amaskel Imtim Salom. So we don't have time to learn the Tosis together. I'll just read the first lines in Tosis. Tosa says, "Imtim tzalom alocha k'rav Yehuda mekalkul etzal pesach v'shari," and therefore he's allowed to do it. Now, Rabosai, if let's say creating a pesach is mekalkel, and Rabbi Yehuda himself agrees that mekalkel is what is potur, then what principle do I automatically apply? Would I always apply to potur? Potur aval avalasa. So, how can we allow bir rishona on Shabbos? Based on the fact that the Pesach is called a kilkul. Even if the Pesach is a kilkul, I grant you that premise, nevertheless, Mekalkel is potavol also. The answer is that this is a mitzvah of Bir Rishon. Bir Rishon, the first Bir, is a special mitzvah. Back in the day in the Gaonim, they used to have a special bracha for Bir Rishon. It fell out of use, but the name meant there was such a bracha. So there's a mitzvah of Bir Rishon for the sake of the mitzvah. We're going to override the Eastern Drabbanan of Mekalkel. Yeah, but Rabosa, what did we see already in the Tzlach?
Well, we said not to overcome.
Correct, that according to the Rambam at least, you're not allowed to override an Eastern Drabbanan even for the sake of a mitzvah. Pirish says, Tosis, the Rabbi Yehuda Islay, the Mekalkel, Bechabura, Potu. the afal gav de potavel asur. So you'll ask me, all right, it's a makalkel, but it's potavel asur. Miu hocha mutter. Here in this case, it's mutter l'chatchila. You're allowed to do it. Why? Mishum, please underline these words. De'ika tarte. We have a piggyback situation. What do we have? We have makalkel bechabura. Number one, it's a kilkul. And number two, it's a dover she'eno. It's a dover she'eno miskalu. So again, I'm going to leave this here for you now, but what do we see here in this Tosfos? Way before the Tzlach and the Shar HaMelech. Hundreds of years before that. Ben, can you help me out here?
Why? I mean, is it not accurate that Shita prevents it with the double...
Okay, leave out the Shita for just a second. I mean, let's you're a big Tabla Chokha, you know the Shita Mekbetz. Let's say you didn't know the Shita Mekbetz. But what do we see here in this line in Tosfos that predates the Shar HaMelech by about 6 centuries or 7 centuries? What's the principle? Correct. That Ika Tarte. Number one, it's Makalkal. Number two, it's the Dom Shade of Iskavit. And what's the law in such a case? It's Mutter Litzarch Mitzvah. So you're right. We're going to go over the Sheet of Mekubetzis and try to find it there. But the Sheet of Mekubetzis, keep in mind, is not long before the Shar HaMelech. You know, that was from Betzal Ashkenazi. You know, he lived 5 centuries ago. But to find this explicitly in a Tosfos, that I thought was pretty exciting. So what I want you to work on now is to review everything that we did, and then to go through this Tosfos here in Ksuvos, compare it to the Tzlach that we just did before, and then you should have a page that says Lechem Shamayim. You have such a page in your booklet?
Yes.
All right, and we're looking at Perkhov Bey's Mishnah Gimel. I think, Don, you already saw the Mishnah in Kahati, right? And who was the Lechem Shamayim? He was known as the Yavitz. His name was Rav Yaakov Emden. He lived about 400 years ago, 350 to 400 years ago. And he wrote a super commentary on Mishnayis, which is called the Lechem Shamayim. Now this piece is quite long and quite profound. So I wish you a lot of luck with it. Okay then, so I think that you have enough work to keep you going for the balance of the morning. I will, believe Neder, already be giving you some source material for Sunday, so you can get a jump start for Yom Rishon. And at this point, in case I don't see you, I want to thank you for a great week of learning and wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom. Okay then? I'm beginning to feel comfortable, like I know a little bit. You know, like the pieces are beginning to fit together. I don't know if you're feeling that way, but I am.
Sure, go ahead. Thank you.
It doesn't work the other way around.
Like what?
Like if you find more... It's not correct. You have to find more pottery to make it mutter. Like I'm thinking this beer Rishona is also a kinyan. It's called a kinyan.
I'm waiting for you.
It's not just the blood issue, but there's a kinyan issue. Okay, now you can argue there's already a kinyan done before.
Right, I think
the kinyan process. If you really want beer Rishona,
no, I think what you're saying, David, is that we can create a parallelism. You know, we can, you have a correspondence between each isu. We need another heter. So yeah. Have two Isurim, then I need a corresponding heter for each Isur. So if I have only one Isur, then we can say, well, I have two heterim for that one Isur. But if I have two Isur, I need a corresponding heter for each Isur, or maybe two for each Isur. Yeah. It's possible, I don't know. It's a brilliant idea, I just don't, you know, I don't have the wherewithal of testing that in the lab. Okay.